Why would a loving God, why would a caring God allow you to be accused of wrongdoings when you try to be honest at workplaces? Have you experienced that before? Being accused of doing something wrong when you tried to be the best you can, be honest in everything you do in your workplace? Did Joseph ask God why he was accused? Did he say, "Lord, why did you allow this Potiphar's wife accuse me?" When he decided not to sin against the Lord. When Potiphar's wife invited Joseph to bed, Joseph firmly answered her in Genesis chapter 39, verse 9. Let's read this again. "No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" That is the principle of Joseph. Joseph had this strong resolve not to take part of the wicked scheme, the wicked idea of Potiphar's wife. But when they were alone in the house, Potiphar's wife tried to tempt Joseph. So when he grabbed his cloak and Joseph ran out of the house very quickly and left his robe behind, just imagine that Joseph felt like his cloak was contaminated with infectious virus when Potiphar's wife held onto his cloak. Kind of like, that lady with measles. So she just removed his cloak. It seems like that. He was just very scared of Potiphar's wife when he ran away. Joseph escaped from temptation, but all the more he was put in trouble. He escaped that temptation. He did not want to sin against God, and yet he was put in trouble. Why did God allow Joseph to be accused of wrongdoing? Did you ever have similar experience? Have you ever been accused of wrongdoings? When we resolve to obey God, but all we've got is trouble we cannot control, what should we do? Listen, when we resolve to live a lifestyle pleasing to God, but things or events become unpleasant without our knowledge, or we just cannot handle situation, we cannot manage them anymore. After we live that lifestyle pleasing to God, watch out, watch out. It is when we are helpless that God's grace becomes more apparent. It is when we are helpless that God's grace becomes more apparent. The Lord may have been redirecting things and event for our favor. Be prayerful, be prayerful. Ask God to increase your faith and hope in Him. Think about that. Why would a loving God allow you to be in that trouble when all your desire and resolve is to obey Him? He is doing something. Most of the time, we resist God. This is why He put us in a situation when we become helpless, so that He can truly redirect us to the situation He wants us to be. It says in Psalm 37, verse 1 to 9, let's read this together, Psalm 37, verse 1 to 9. "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong, for like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desire of your heart." Verse 5. "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this." Verse 6. "He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, When they carry out their wicked schemes, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Now that's very tough for young people when their classmates are now very successful and still they are waiting. When will I succeed? When will I succeed? How can I be patient? How can I be patient? That's the questions of many. If your contemporaries, if your friend, especially when you are in high school and you are in the top of your class, and then your classmates who were just so kind, average kind of students are the ones who are graduating in college, and yet you who in the top class is still struggling to complete your studies. Do you have that experience? You have that experience. How can we wait? How can we be still? It says in verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. I understand that feeling. When I graduated high school, I got a lot of medals, honors. I'm not the valedictorian, but I've got a lot of recognition with different subjects. And then after 5 years, I'm still doing nothing. And those average students who were copying from me, they are now teaching. They become teachers. And I was just very, in the eyes of my parents, not successful. Eyes of others, not successful. But I was enjoying my life. I have my own furniture shop. That's why. I did not bother to graduate. Some of you may have been thinking about that too. But know that the Lord, He has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. So keep on keeping on trusting Him. Again, unbelievers cannot understand why King David advised us to wait patiently upon the Lord. Why are you doing nothing? When things are becoming out of control, you need to do something. Our tendency when we are facing problem is to do whatever is necessary. That's right. There are many possible decisions you can think of. But first, before deciding, the internet can provide, if you know how to, you can just easily research from the internet. But there are a lot of suggestions out there. Which is the right path? Pray and ask God, Lord, help me decide. There are a lot of paths that I need to take, but I need to take the right path. Ask the Lord for wisdom and select the appropriate one. Don't just decide randomly if there's still time to pray. If you don't have time to pray, then go ahead, decide. By faith, you decide. Joseph did her best to be faithful. He was dutiful. He was diligent manager of the properties of his boss. Did Joseph feel sorry when Potiphar favored his wife instead of him? When Potiphar chose to believe the lies of his wife, it implies that his wife may have been very good in acting. Siguro magaling siyang actress, huh? And Potiphar was also blinded by his love for his wife. Now, we've learned last week that Potiphar was really good in choosing a reliable person, and yet when we talk about his wife, he would choose his wife first than anybody else. That's how he loved his wife. It was not known if Potiphar investigated. He should have, because he is the captain of the guard. But maybe he did investigate, but he wanted to choose his wife. And he was very angry to do that, so maybe his anger overwhelm him? Does anger prevent objective judgment? Does anger cause foolish decision? Think about that. Because of anger, Potiphar lost the person that the Lord used to pour out much blessing into his household. He knew that because of Joseph, he was blessed. That he did not bother to think about what's happening inside his household. But Potiphar became an unfortunate accomplice of the wicked scheme of his wife when he put in prison when he chose to believe his wife. Let's read again verse 16 through 20, first part of 20. Let's read. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story, that Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard the story of his wife, told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me, he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. I don't know if the prison where the prisoners of the king was the best prison at the time, or prison for average people. I don't know. But if his wife was lying or not, Potiphar may or may not investigate it. That's not very relevant in the story. When he put Joseph in prison, it exposed that Potiphar as inconsiderate accomplice of the wicked scheme of his wife. He placed Joseph as manager of his properties because he was concerned of his prosperity. He was concerned of him about what he gained. But Potiphar had lesser interest of things concerning the welfare of his manager or his servant Joseph. Such attitude has been frequently observed among employers, right? Employees may expect employers to be concerned of employees' benefits, but most often they don't have any. Do you expect them to be more concerned about you? Say, for instance, you are the owner of a business. You have this business. Which business? Jollibee, for example, or Max Chicken, for example. You are the owner of Max Chicken or Jollibee, whatever. Would you care more about the welfare of your employees than what you gain or profit? Kababayan ko naman ng mga worker, kaya I will see to it that they will be benefited. Have you ever had this employer who is more concerned of their employees than their profit and or gain? Kahit malugi ka na, basta mabigay mo lang yung benefit ng yung employees. Have you had that? See, the primary concern of an average employee is employees' benefit. That's the primary concern. No? That is the reason they applied for the job, so that they will have this benefit. But the primary concerns of employers is not their employees, it's their profit. So if employers and employees can meet each other's concern, relationship between employers and employees turn great. There will be lesser complaints, there will perhaps no fighting for one's right. In comparison, Christ, our Lord, our Master, told us to obey him. Why? It's not for his profit. It's for our benefit. He is sufficient in everything and does not need anything from us. Do you understand that? Can you accept that? The next question is, then why should he command us if he doesn't need anything from us? Well, it does not make God become rich if we obey him, because he can easily create gold, diamond, precious stones that we see around if we believe that. He doesn't benefit from us. His instruction, this is his means, his strategy to bless the obedient. If you are obedient, you will be blessed. But that's not easy. So ask God, Lord, help me obey you. Help me obey you. Bless me that I may obey you. And it follows blessing. So when we believe his instruction, that his instruction benefits us, and we obey, it practically proves our faith. So we need to have increase of faith for we to believe. The intensity, the magnitude of our obedience to the Lord reveals the intensity and magnitude, the level of our faith in him. The stronger our faith, the easier for us to obey the Lord. So why is it that we are slow to obey? When we claim to have faith in Christ, we say we believe in Christ that he gave us eternal life. Most often we ignore the presence of Christ's Spirit in our life. And you learn that from your Sunday school, in that material. We are the self. We are sitting on the throne of our life. And the Spirit is set aside. The Spirit of Christ is set aside. That is why we cannot obey him. When we follow our instinct, we disregard him. When we follow our human inclination, we ignore the Lord. This is where praying continually comes in. Pray continually, pray and pray and pray and ask until you sense that your answer is answered. Your prayer is answered, your answer is answered. We need to pray in every situation, unpleasant or pleasant. King David poetically described how he practically expressed his faith in Psalm 92, verse 1 to 6. Let's read this. Psalm 92, verse 1 to 6. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of ten-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for you for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord, how profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know. Fools do not understand. When King David wrote this, he was prophesying of reality. Praising God when things are pleasant is appropriate. It's very easy. But when things are not pleasant, can we still worship God? Yes. When the Holy Spirit is at work in our life, we can still praise God. If you are walking and you stub your toe, you say, oh, praise God, I got hurt. Do you know that? Of course. Better that you stub your toe instead of falling down, right? Well, as king of Israel, King David had problems. Have you ever thought what a king life is? The life of a king? Just imagine what's happening with our prime minister. Left and right had been in controversy. Just imagine the life of Duterte or the life of Trump. Much more, the life of king. How he would administer fake news or something. the peace and order, Abu Sayyaf or something. How he would control that. Including the welfare of the people. Thus, maybe the title king is really enticing, but the job of king is not for all. As father, he had problematic children. If you know what happened to his children, That would be very tough for a father. Just imagine you fathers, if your children are killing each other. How would you feel that? As an individual, David had also problem resisting temptation. And yet, he declared how good it is to praise God. Night or day. He did not say, only when everything was fine. He did not. And foolish, he said, foolish people don't understand such attitude. Senseless people do not know. Fools do not understand. Not trusting the Lord in the midst of problem, in concern during comfort or during progress. That's foolishness according to King David. Remember that God has given us the gift of eternal life. If you believe that you have received the gift of eternal life, it should inspire us to keep on hoping in God in the midst of difficulties or in progress. The Lord is preparing something great for our benefit. Now let's look at one of the problem of King David. When David's son Absalom led a revolution to take the kingdom of Israel, King David ordered his commanders, "Please be gentle with my son Absalom." But Commander Joab killed Absalom. He is commander problem. Commander Joab. King David mourned for the death of his son Absalom. And when Commander Joab was told about it, he confronted King David. It's written in 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 5 to 7. Let's read this. "Today you have humiliated your men," that's Joab speaking, "who have just saved your life, the lives of your sons and daughters, the lives of your wives and concubines." Verse 6, "You love those who hate you and hate those who love you. You have made it clear today that the commanders and their men mean nothing to you. I see that you would be pleased if Absalom were alive today and all of us were dead. Now, go out and encourage your men. I swear by the Lord that if you don't go out, not a man will be left with you by nightfall. This will be worse for you than all the calamities that have come on you from your youth till now." Now, that's the commander problem speaking. If you were the king, what would you do? Joab was a problematic commander of David's army. Actually, after that, David wanted Amasa, a man named Amasa, to take the place of Joab as commander. The mother of Joab and the mother of Amasa, they were sisters. They were sisters of David. So Joab and Amasa were pamangkin, nephews of Joab, of King David. And David promised Amasa to be the next commander, but Joab killed his cousin Amasa. Why did the Lord allow Joab to be the commander of David's army when this Joab brought problem to King David? Although King David wanted to replace his problematic commander, he planned, but he did not force the issue. He waited for the Lord to resolve his problem. David did not punish Joab, but he told King Solomon to do what's right, and King Solomon punished Joab. Sometimes, this I observe, there are people that God allows to cause problems in our lives. Why? Because God can use them effectively as instrument to accomplish His purposes for us. We need to accept that. It's a reality. Even if you don't like your employers that much, even if your supervisor, your boss, are very mean to you, Without them, if you quit, you don't have salary, something like that. So accept that reality. And it's also a privilege, a time for you to sense if you can praise God, worship God in that unpleasant situation. Joseph did what was right. Joseph did what was proper as manager of his master. But the malicious wife of his master made his life worse. When Potiphar believed the scheme of his wife and put Joseph in prison, the Lord was attentive to the needs of Joseph. Let's read again verse 20, second part of verse 20 and to 23. But Joseph was there, while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. The Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Want to be successful? The secret of Joseph is to be with the Lord and let the Lord give you success. Prison life was worse than the life of slaves in Joseph's time. The time of Joseph, prison life was not very good kind of life. The worst life if you are living. Yet the Lord made Joseph successful even in the worst situation he had in prison. One great thing that we can learn from Joseph is his faith in God. Despite of unpleasant situation, we should trust the Lord. Can we pray and ask God to move the hearts of our employers to grant us favor, to grant you favor and kindness? You can. Ask God. Well, the Lord did it to Joseph. Why would he not grant us? Why would God not grant you that? The duties and responsibilities of a prison warden are demanding and tedious. Imagine, he makes sure that there is peace and order in the jail, and then that is next to impossible when prisoners are rowdy. He makes sure that prisoners behave well, and that's prisoners behaving well. Is that possible? Something like that. That requires expertise. He takes care of logistics and the prison activities. That demands administrative ability. If you don't have any administrative ability, that is not very easy. The prison warden of Joseph, he was wise. He deputized. He designated Joseph to be in charge of his duties and responsibility as warden. He wanted to relax a little bit. He paid no attention to anything after he appointed Joseph to be in charge of prisoners and administer all the things needed in prison, because the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And he gave him success in whatever he did. Obviously, Joseph was a reliable manager because the Lord made him successful. With wisdom that comes from the Lord, Joseph did his responsibilities pretty well. And the warden sensed it so that he did not concern himself of anything. Do you know of a prisoner who became successful while in prison? Have you met somebody? He said, I was a prisoner. I became successful in prison. I have encountered one. He became the manager of the commissary in Bilibid. His name was Joe. I don't know if he already came out. I met somebody when we visited Muntinlupap Jail, maximum prison, and they are teaching the Bible. One is very, very particular. He said, I teach the book of Acts for 4 years now. He said, wow. I was envious of his opportunity to do that. Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, 12 to 18, let's read this example. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Wow. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Paul was imprisoned because of his faith in God, in Christ. Imagine the time of Paul, when there is this very particular or popular prisoner, or they deem it very risky kind of prisoner, the prisoner is chained with two guards. So it's like there are three prisoners in there, in the cell. Left hand of Paul was chained with another guard. The right hand is chained with another guard. So when, I don't know, I just can't imagine if they sleep. Okay, turn to the left. Sleep. Okay, right. That's how they would, maybe perhaps sleeping, I don't know. And what happened? The whole palace guard, they heard the gospel. Why? Now, he may have told them Christ. Normally, there's this changing of guard every 4 hours. Every 4 hours, there's changing of guard. So, we imagine that there is four, every 4 hours, in 24 hours, how many guards were there? 12? So every 4 hours, 12 times, changing of the guard. Of course, Paul would sleep at least 8 hours. So maybe he doesn't speak to the guard when he's sleeping. How can he, a sleeping person, do that? If Paul was awake for 16 hours, 8 guards had already heard about Christ, right? But he was imprisoned for 2 years in Rome. He was imprisoned for 2 years. And so every day, if there's changing of the guard every day, that's the reason it says the whole palace guard heard it. And what else? It says there, verse 14, and because of my chain, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more proclaim the gospel without fear. Now, it's not only the palace guard who heard the gospel, but the believers also were encouraged to share without fear, share the gospel. That was something that happened to Paul. This reminds us of what happened when Jesus Christ was crucified. It was recorded in Matthew 27, verse 54. Let's read this. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Now, that's the centurion. He believed. He proclaimed. He declared that Jesus was the Son of God. Christ's crucifixion was also God's instrument for those who tortured and crucified Jesus to believe and declare him as the Son of God. Personally, would you believe that when God allows difficulties in our life, those were instances, those were his instruments to help us realize his sovereignty and mighty power? Can you believe that? Just pray, Lord, increase my faith. Will God give us success in the midst of difficulties? Can you believe that? If you say you believe, say amen. Amen. You will indeed be successful even in the midst of difficulties by God's grace. By God's grace, success is much sweeter after we overcome difficulties. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we remember the death and resurrection of Christ. What can we learn from this, the death and resurrection of Christ? Death is the worst problem that mankind can never solve. Resurrection can never be attained or accomplished by human effort. And yet the resurrection of Christ proved the empty tomb. Have you seen that empty tomb? That's just a prop. Jesus was not there before. Well, he was everywhere, right? He is everywhere. Anyway, the resurrection of Christ, that's very nice. Do you like it? I like it. The resurrection of Christ proved that God is mighty and powerful. He has solved the most difficult problem of mankind, which is death. Death is the most difficult problem of mankind, but Jesus Christ has solved it. Do you have more difficult problem than death? If you think of your problem now, pray for increase of faith and believe it and keep trusting God. If God was able to solve the most difficult problem of mankind through the resurrection of Christ, if Christ exemplified in his resurrection that this achievement cannot be done by human effort, only when we have faith in Christ, when we trust him, that we will believe it. As our church leaders would come and help me prepare the table, let's bow down our heads and ask God to increase our faith. Think about it. Think of your most difficult problem, the problem you are experiencing right now. Ask God to increase your faith that you believe that Christ can solve it, that Jesus Christ can solve it. Heavenly Father,